Welcome to the Awakened to Wholeness Summit. I'm Val Salidkar. Today we have a powerful woman who is a sacred space holder, a traveler between worlds, a deep embodied soul who has guided thousands of people into their depths, Parashakti. Yes. Parashakti fell in love with the power of dance as a form of self-expression in her childhood. Throughout her life, she was introduced to many different ancient modalities of movement therapy and studied and participated over many years in the wisdom circles of Native American communities and ceremonies. These profound teachings led her to develop a life-changing methodology known as Dance of Liberation. Dance of Liberation integrates shamanic journeying, hands-on healing, sacred music, and the use of a blindfold to help dissolve participants' physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual blockages, enabling them to embrace their life-affirming, healthy, exuberant self. Her commitment to clients' well-being led her to subsequently develop soul healing, private intuitive healing sessions to help clients create a pathway to discover their soul's deeper meanings and life mission. Parashakti has worked with over 10,000 clients from around the world and led workshops, retreats, and teacher trainings at some of the world's leading holistic centers. She is both the subject and co-producer of a full-length documentary, Dance of Liberation, with the Wolper Organization at Warner Brothers. Parashakti has been featured on television as well as in LA Yoga Magazine, Newsweek, Time Out New York, and the Jerusalem Post. Parashakti, soul sister.
Hello. You make me want to dance with you right now.
Oh, we're gonna dance. We are. The dance has already begun.
It has.
It's really special to have you here. It really is. I mean, when I think about people that hold such an embodied, literally an embodied space of the sacred and invite our world, you know, into the depths, into the, in a sense, into like the juicy darkness, you know, to explore just everything, you know, you are that. And I'm just so happy to have you in my life and so excited that people get to share in the wisdom of you today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you are such a creator. And before we really dive into the dance of liberation and soul healing and shamanism and all this, the incredible journey has to hold for us, I want to invite you to just open our space so we can really get the feeling of what we're stepping into, even at the sacred conversation today.
Beautiful. Thank you. So I'm going to invite all of us to go into that sacred, juicy space that you invoked, Val, by closing our eyes. Right now, the essential thing for all of us as we come together and unite is to find that focus, that inner seclusion of darkness where there is a depth of truth that just by closing our eyes, we can access. And so as we drop in into our breath, no matter where we are right now, we're entering into a space of vision quest. And so let this journey here today together be a pathway to your vision quest because you listened to the call. There's something in you, within me, that by coming together today, we can access a new beginning. We can plant a seed. So let us surrender into the unknown, into the great mystery, into the void, where we open ourselves up to an awakened and whole heart that's going to guide our journey today. It is with you present here with us that we can now open and awaken the path to this heartfelt place that unites us. So I welcome us all into this sacred container because we are about to embark on one of the most powerful journeys now that we're here. Thank you. Aho.
Thank you, sister. I'm just feeling into the great invitation of our time. You know, this incredible awakening that's happening right now, and how, you know, as we were just reflecting even before we jumped on, that all this intensity is calling us forth in the most powerful way, you know, to recognize what's inside of us and how we can show up more fully, more wholly, more in service to our world. And I know your life has been an unfolding of that. It really, really has been. So I'd love to hear from you and sort of how this began for you. Like, you were kind of born into this embodiment, really. It started for you at such a young age and from a long family of healers, right?
Yes. So, you know, dance for me was my form of expression from when I traveled and came out that birth canal. And my mom knew the moment that I came out that the dance was going to be my form of leading a new way. And I believe that this call, because I had such great support from such a young age, that the tools along the way through definitely a long, long journey of trials and tribulations, that by just the focus of that vision arrow of knowing that led me into and onto this path that I'm ever so dedicated to today, which is the path of allowing the body to develop and express a new language of the soul.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when was for you like the first, do you have a moment when you remember really recognizing this sacred life? Like, wow, life is sacred. Do you have an imprint from your childhood when you were like, yeah, there's something deeper here?
You know, I have a funny story to share that I think that's when there was a great moment of listening to spirit. When I was 7 years old, I was in Israel, where I grew up, and I had a very strict Russian ballet teacher. And we were in rehearsals, practicing for, you know, a recital. And this I don't remember, but my mom tells the story every Shabbat dinner that she can. That at the recital itself, I was in the front row because I was the shortest. And I had been rehearsing for months. And suddenly I broke out into my own dance. And it was incredible to witness that spirit had entered my body, that there was no longer structure or the right, wrong way of doing things, following the way that we rehearsed. It was spirit at 7 years old took over my body and I did my own thing. And everyone on stage just stopped. So from the age of 7 years old, I believe that there was this knock on my door where genuinely my body was taken over by what you want to call source, creator. And because I just allowed and at 7 years old, there is no fear, I just expressed something very big that was, again, just a voice inside myself that then has been guiding me ever since.
It's so beautiful to recognize that. Do you think you recognize that at that moment, or was this reflecting back, which like, oh, that's what happened?
Well, you know, when my mom tells the story, then I'm able to recognize that I was called into this. You know, I think that as a young child, I just followed the dream.
Yeah.
I think when we follow a dream, then the path opens, the journey awakens.
For sure.
Yeah.
And So for you, you began as a dancer, like professional performance.
Yes.
So what was that point where dance became less of a performance and more of an inward journey?
Right. I'll say that at the same time that I broke out into this massive spirit dance at the age of 7, that was the same year that I was diagnosed with very, very severe learning disabilities. Mm. And so already at 7, they found with the many tests that they did that I had a very big struggle. And so my gift of being able to go into altered states of consciousness were extremely an easy way for me to communicate. But sitting down in school or being in ballet classes, I was not able to be in any sort of structure from such a young age. So I went to a performing arts school in Israel and I majored in acting and dance. And when I was 17, I was 3 days before rehearsal. 3 days before a dance performance, and I had a dislocation in my knee. And that's what started really the dark night of the soul. Mm-hmm. That's what really the pain that I wasn't able to perform, the doctor saying that I'm going to need surgery, like all of that was what really dismantled me. And slowly with the healing process, I was put back together. And yet at 17, I wasn't going to give up the dream. And so I followed that dream. And that's what took me into the performance troupe in the army in Israel, which then led me to pursuing a dance career, wanting to do it in the States. And so I packed my bags at 22 and left to go to LA and majored in Santa Monica College as a dance major. And once again, 3 days before performance, I had the same injury. And so at 23, that's when the wake-up call happened. Mm. When the same injury happened, and I realized that break was for me to ask some deeper questions. Mm. And so that darkness is what revealed the path of shamanism.
Mm.
And one thing led to the next, because, you know, when I had that dismantling of the ego, that's when the teachers showed up. That's when I found yoga. That's when I realized that the performance became a prayformance, and that prayer became an essential part of how to heal my own body.
Mm.
I had to pray so hard because I no longer had really the path paved out for me as a dancer. So the big questions really came then.
Yeah. What a gift.
Yes.
What a gift. And isn't that a great reminder that when we find ourselves in that dark night of our soul, when we're going through that thing where, like, our path is no longer clear, everything we thought is turned upside down, we have no idea what's going to happen next. Like, the next step is in darkness, but we just have faith that it's going to meet the ground, right? That a new path opens up for us if we just allow ourselves to trust in that.
Right.
And yes. So because of that, you're here today doing this incredible work. And in the space between was this deep dive into the soul.
Yes.
Deep dive into the space between worlds.
Right.
So let's go in there. Let's go dive into that space a little bit. Yeah.
I think we all can relate to when we have to dance with our shadow. We have to confront our shadow. We have to look at our deepest fears. We have to look at a life that we thought we were going to have and it actually was shattered. And so everyone can relate to that. And I'm even going to ask right now to take a pause so that everyone can feel into that place inside of them that even as we speak right now, is wanting to come forth and declare something new, because we have that opportunity just as the sun rises every morning to give birth to something new. We don't have to break something like I did. And yet if we create a space to go inward, then we can listen to that deeper cry.
Mm.
And that is the cry of the soul. And so when we create that sacred space, as we are right now, the soul can actually speak to us rather than the mind or the ego trying to control. And that's what was happening and happening on a regular basis for me.
Yeah, it is such a powerful invitation. I know it just came through for me when you were saying that is, I may have even shared this before on another interview, but it just came through again. And it's this, Thich Nhat Hanh was asked what we most need to do to save the world. And what he said is we most need to hear the sound of the earth crying.
Yes.
And I just, you know, that's like this larger vision of everything, right? But we can also bring that within ourselves and say, what do we most need to do to feel ourselves heal, to feel ourselves in our wholeness? And it's like to listen to the sound of the earth crying, like to listen to our own sound of our heart breaking open. And, you know, what is in there? What is inside of that space? And where does it want to lead us?
Right.
You know, and it is that invitation to listen more deeply.
It is. You know, Val, in some ways it's so simple, and it's the hardest thing for us to do because we're always looking outside of ourselves for the answers. And so that's why I've been in a laboratory for so many years with the blindfold and without the blindfold. And I have to say that really after being in this laboratory with myself on the dance floor and working with thousands of dancers, that there's something within the blindfold that allows the dancer to go into that intimate space of listening to that cry.
Right.
And that cry is a global cry.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. And you know, and shamanism also represents that.
Exactly. Right?
It's not just the individual, it's the collective. You know, it's going into listening to the dreams that have the message for the whole.
Right.
So there is definitely. And I'm thinking too, and I want to get into dance liberation in a moment, but in within that context, you know, there's this kind of group that there's, you know, you're not alone in it necessarily. Like you may be blindfolded, but you're also sharing an energetic space within that ecstatic space. And when we go into that space, like there's an energy field that called, you know, collective effervescence. So it's like this energy that we all tap into, and especially like when we're in ecstatic space and it just magnifies. But imagining going deep within, where we're not like in our face or thinking about how we look, but we're so deep within on an energetic level, sharing that collective effervescence and feeling the energy of what wants to come through collectively. And how powerful that is.
Exactly. I just want to piggyback on what you're saying, because what happens is that there is a fine tuning that happens on the dance floor, and the dancer receives tools that are collectively received. And so when we come into a sharing circle at the end, literally you can hear the sharings of the tribe of the dancers really coming from a place of a unified heart. They all heard the same prayer, the same voice, the same way to take it off the dance floor. Mm. So yes, it is a personal vision quest, and yet there's so much that is happening on a collective level that then there's a way to collectively move and take that energy off the dance floor and make a change and bring transformation into the world.
Right. And ultimately that is, like you said, it's like this laboratory. You go in and you explore and you receive these messages and you feel into the parts that feel blocked, and you get all of this. And then how do we extrapolate that and bring that into life?
Yes.
Right? Our day-to-day moments. So we're dancing around. Let's go into, I know you have it's a sevenfold frame, right?
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about that just so we can all get a deeper sense of how that journeys.
Yes.
And then also, it's also when you created that, like, let's get a sense of when you created it, and then talk about that, the yes. unfolding of it.
So I definitely want to honor all the teachers and of course all the spirit guides that have really supported just the powerful work that's being danced. And you know, there's so many teachers that I could verbally honor. And I will say that my elder Wakia Unmane, Thunder He Walks With, from the Lakota tradition, really held for me the container of birthing the seven foundations. The seven foundations are also based on the medicine wheel. So in the Native American tradition, there is a medicine wheel that allows us to go delve deeper into the direction of our soul. And so it's a map. And so I developed the seven foundations based on a very ancient medicine wheel, which honors the north, the south, the east, the west, the above, the below, and the self. Mm. And through dancing through those directions, when I was in my own initiation, the different foundations were birthed. And so the first foundation is always, as you welcomed me to do, is creating sacred space. And then the second foundation is the power of intention. Mm. And the third foundation is the breath. And the fourth foundation is the blindfold. And the fifth foundation is the music. And the sixth foundation is the dance. And the seventh foundation is the returning home. Mm. So these foundations, I see them as a way to live your life. You can live your life as a dance of liberation. You don't have to come to Dance of Liberation, even though I very much welcome you into the dance.
And I highly recommend it if you ever have an opportunity to
dance. Yes. But if you're thousands of miles away and you can't come and dance with us, there's a way to, as you so beautifully say, embody these seven foundations as a lifestyle. Mm. And so it's a beautiful, just, again, I like to call it map of the soul that gives tools to people on how to have that inner dance, mm, and that inner foundation and that inner way of expression. Yes. And then to take it out into the world, the returning home. How do we actually serve in this way, in a better way, mm, for the goodness, the bigger picture of humanity?
Absolutely. So yes. Let's talk. So we experienced, you know, opening the sacred space, and we're here, we're in it, right? We open this container that we are in at the moment. And so, mm, we're setting our intention. Mm-hmm. And let's talk a little bit about what that means in our lives.
Yes. So, you know, I go back just to what I shared earlier, is that my intention clearly from a very young age was to be able to express myself through movement. Mm. And so I journeyed through that and went through the journey of being in dance groups and performance troupes. And it was always through the intention of being able to express myself through movement. And yes, that intention continued, but it changed. And so the reason I always say in Dance Liberation, on the dance floor, off the dance floor, how powerful to have an intention is, because then you can have a focus. And that focus can then allow you to let the great mystery unfold. Because really, once you put that blindfold on, or once you just close your eyes and you have that sacred intention, then you allow it to just unfold. And that's the freedom through just the breath of life, you know? And so you want to have an intention, and yet you want to also just let the great mystery lead your way.
So I'm just feeling into, like, everything you're just saying, creating that intention, mm-hmm, but not holding on so tight to wanting to see that happen, holding it, but also surrendering simultaneously to what you want, to what life wants to create for you, for what wants to unfold for you. Kind of like you were saying, like your intention to be a professional performance.
Yeah.
Shifted, mm-hmm, into holding space for a deeper inward journey through dance and movement. Right? So you had an intention and you surrendered to allowing it to shift in ways that it needed to move and shift. Right. So it's a perfect and beautiful example. So whatever intention we may be holding in our own lives right now, to allow ourselves to be in a space of surrendering to how it wants to unfold.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
It gives you a very strong foundation. And with that strong foundation comes trust and faith. And within that, I'm always saying just surrender, surrender, surrender.
Yeah.
So
that's that's a key word too. Especially, you know, just feeling into the intensity of our world right now.
Exactly. You
know, we participate in every way that we can, and we also have to have a certain amount of surrendering to,
right,
what is here and how things are unfolding, even as we participate and create.
Yes. So
everything happening simultaneously, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I also really want to offer the wisdom that came to me, is that I thought that my calling in life was to, again, to be able to perform through movement. And when those breaks happen, when those dismantling experiences happen, then the bigger me was able to fall into the true expression of what I do today.
Beautiful.
So yes, it's about being able to surrender onto a path that is calling you, and then really just allow for the unfoldment, and not to try and control, not to try to grasp onto, because that creates resistance.
Right.
So we want to break through the resistance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think also in setting an intention is an invitation for us to connect more deeply to ourselves.
Yes.
And we become present to what is it that we want? What is it that we want to create for ourselves? You know, what is it that we're feeling called towards? You know, we really have to inquire within, you know, give a space of self-inquiry and get to know ourselves a little bit deeper. So it is that initial invitation to start a conversation with ourselves too. Yeah.
And to trust that one thing will lead to the next.
Right.
Right. So that intention will open up a door. It might not turn out to be exactly the way you wanted it.
Right.
And yet it will manifest in the highest good.
Mm.
So the intention is like the big, beautiful sun and the umbrella. And then you can just walk and with that intention, see how it unfolds.
Yes. Beautiful. And then bringing in the breath.
Yes.
So the next step is the breath.
Right. So again, have been in a laboratory on the dance floor with these different breath practices. And I find that there's a certain breath that really allows you to enter into that altered state of consciousness. Again, a best way to describe it is just getting out of the mind.
Mm.
And so the breath allows you to enter into the trance state, where you can surrender, where you can let go, where you can release the story. Because really what we want to do is release the story. The story lives inside our tissues. Mm. And so when we go into that deep breath work, then we're beginning to unravel. And the movement starts to dance us rather than we're trying to choreograph the dance. And that's what, as a professional dancer, I had to break through all of that too.
Yeah.
You know, because you learn these choreographed dances. And here you have to just break through those as what I call it today's stories.
Yeah, definitely. So, and I think, and the breath also is like the first step to becoming really embodied.
Yes.
You're just saying getting out of the head and getting into the body. And it's like almost like this bridge. And also the outer world and the inner world.
Yes.
Right? So now we're kind of through the breath where it's the inner and the outer, and we find ourselves in that flow where it's all one.
Right. And now, Val, I also understand as I, you know, look back at the way when I was 7 years old and suddenly spirit came over me and took over me, there was something that was altered with my breath. You know, because when you alter your breath, breath is the physical form of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you alter your breath, then you alter the body, and then spirit can come and dance you.
Inspiration.
Yes. And I feel for me that is the highest place of holding the space where spirit can come onto the dance floor and take over the dance.
Mm, like when you were 7.
Yes. Little did I know then.
It was a foreshadowing.
Yes.
Mm, okay, so we move into through our embodied breath, and then comes the entering into the darkness.
Right.
The blindfold, right. Which is also this kind of key component in shamanism, is going into the sweet darkness, right?
Right.
Facing our fears, courage to, you know, become present to our inner world.
Right.
Moving out of consensus reality and into like alternate states of reality that gives us access to more.
Right. Yes. So it's within that darkness that there's the mystery.
Yes.
And that's what we are connecting the dancers to. And I say we because we're a big group of facilitators on that dance floor. It's not just me. And so we create a container where we call forth the mystery through the darkness to come through. And there's a moment when that mystery comes through and you as a facilitator can feel, and as a dancer can feel the shift.
Mm, yes.
And once we all shift into the mystery, then the mystery begins to create and rewrite your soul contract.
Yes. And I'm just thinking about mystery, because mystery is one of my favorite words. You know, and me, as like, I'm super passionate about cosmology and our modern cosmology and the universe story and like the mystery that gave birth to it all, you know, and this intelligence that's alive inside of us in our imprint, in our DNA, you know, that mystery. And so when we go into that dark space and we connect with mystery, it's like we're connecting with that life that animates us, that deeper intelligence that is us. You know, we feel our interconnection with life in a whole new way than if we move through without ever stopping to just become present to that. And like, whether we're on the dance floor or whether we're anywhere in life, even in a meditation or just being alone in a movement meditation or walking in a forest or whatever it is, tapping into that space.
Yes.
To connect, however we connect with mystery, is the most important thing that we can do in life, because it brings us home.
Exactly.
In all the many layers of what's alive in that house, you know, that home. But it is, it's a really powerful invitation.
Yeah.
And the trance state.
Yeah.
So what happens? What's happening for us when we move into and beyond?
Yeah, the best way that I can describe it in words is that time stands still. So you connect to an infinite space where there is no time. And within that space, you can start navigating, because you're moving. Your body is actually moving to the beat of the music, which is the beat of your heart. And you're able to really go into that deep space of aligning yourself with something that otherwise is not there for you to access if you're not in that space of trance.
Mm.
And there are different levels of trance. And so I honor every single level, whether it's beginner, someone who's never experienced it, or someone who's been entering into altered states of consciousness all their life. But there's a place that we all do meet. And it's a point within, again, as I called it, a shift on the dance floor that is embodied and is felt. And whether the dancer is on the floor laying in Savasana, the relaxation pose on their back, or the dancer is, you know, madly dancing in chaos, there is that moment where the body begins to just get reprogrammed. And it's in that trance state. And knowledge and information and wisdom and healing just starts to flow through you.
Yes.
Again, that trance state is not the mind trying to figure things out.
Absolutely. I feel like it's something that is innate in all of us, like this need to connect in an ecstatic way.
Yes.
Ourselves, like it, and it may be through dance, and it may be through something else that gives us that experience, but there is this need to bypass the story, as you were saying, to bypass the thoughts and the mind and the trappings of, you know, the habits that we find ourselves in daily and the conditioning of our society and like all this stuff that's, I'm doing this because it feels like it's all right here, you know. But when we get embodied, when we move past that, I see what you're saying about rewiring everything. Like it recalibrates everything. It just, it's almost like with Deva Pramal and Mitten, we were talking about, you know, the mantra and how like the music, the ecstatic music is really just about getting to that silence.
Right.
And it's also about the music, but it really is about the silence that happens as soon as that last note fades into the darkness, that we are left with this access to silence that is so tangible. And I feel like it's like that in an embodied way on the dance floor.
Yes.
Through dance of liberation, through ecstatic movement, that, you know, we're moving, we're in all this, just so we can then integrate into the silence.
Right.
Does that feel right? Yeah.
You're touching upon exactly the depth that one delves into in the experience of that. It's a deep, deep, again, it's that call. It's that call and that invitation to explore deeper parts of yourself. Mm. And so it's shedding the layers. It's like a snake that sheds its skin. Mm. And you have an opportunity to really allow yourself to go into those places on the dance floor and off the dance floor.
And how do you see, like, when those blocks come up, and they do come up, and maybe for somebody who's just like starting off into this, and they're like, and you know, and I've seen this too, because I've done the dance vibration with you. I've held static dance, like where there's this like slow movement that mm-hmm. almost by the end becomes like this arms go wild and wide. And like, there's this opening that happens. That's amazing to see how mm-hmm. fast we can release and surrender into that space. When we talk about dissolving blocks, what is actually happening? Like, yeah. What do you see and what have you experienced with yourself, with others?
You know, it's a process. The key word that I'm going to use is trust. Hmm. Because when one falls into the place of trusting the process within themselves, then the blockages just start to melt. Hmm. So it's an essence where the confrontation of the resistance and the fear and the blocks are, and you know, that's the shadow that is there to awaken the participant. And so I invite the shadow in. You know, we use certain kinds of music to get that shadow dancing with you.
Right.
You have to confront the shadow in order to be able to dance with the light. So that's what shamanism is all about.
I just had this total vision of Legend. Did you ever see the movie Legend?
No.
Oh, no. Wait. Okay. This is such a classic movie. There's a scene in Legend where the leading woman, Lily, I can't think of the actress's name, but she's literally dancing with this dark figure and it's her, and she's dancing with her shadow, but then it blends into her and she becomes like the shadow of her.
Yes.
It's such a powerful image. You have to see Legend. Oh my
yes.
God. The classic Tim Curry. It's powerful. Like it's light and dark and good and evil and the dance of, and there's a great monologue at the end that talks about this, you know, there is no light without darkness. And he says, I am a part of you all.
Yes.
And it is like, it really is. You're going to love it. Everybody go see Legend. But seriously, it's a classic movie that really talks about the dark and the light, and it's a fantasy, and it does exactly what you're saying. This dance with shadow, this dance with darkness, this invitation, again, this self-inquiry, you know? Because it is, well, where am I feeling blocked in my body? Because we hold it in our physical body.
Right.
In more ways than we know.
Right.
And without ever really checking, we don't know that we're like, oh, my shoulders are way up, or I'm leaning forward, or I'm holding something in my chest, and what's going on in this heart space, you know, or what, right? Like there's so much to explore that we can understand about ourselves through exploring ourselves through our body.
Right.
As well.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So yeah, invoking that shadow and then asking, as you said, inquiring questions, again, intention, about the shadow. What is the teaching? Rather than trying to deny the shadow, what is the shadow here to teach? So the shadow, let's just say right now, comes up as a pain in your shoulders. So what is it trying to teach you? And you're moving with that question. You know, that's also why I don't guide the dance when people are blindfolded, because the innate wisdom, your inner voice guides you.
Yeah.
Once you let go of the you know, resistance, and again, it's like there's a collective consciousness of like, what am I doing? What's happening? Am I doing this right? Am I the only one that's blindfolded? Like these are classic questions.
Right.
Right.
Is anybody watching me?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. That's how we, yes.
So once that you have that breakthrough of you realize that, wow, I actually have an opportunity to do some really deep vision quest work, and it's not about anyone outside of me. Boom, that's when the shift happens. So it's profound, because it's happening on a collective level too. And that's why the dancer's not really alone, even though they're blindfolded. There's a ripple effect. When one dancer gets it, about five other dancers get it too.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a powerful experience. And thinking about it, and how it invites us also, like we're saying, like to move beyond that ordinary reality.
Right.
And to explore this other world. And your experience with shamanism, let's talk a little bit about that and how it plays a role in preparing, holding space.
Yes.
How it's woven itself into the dance of liberation.
So again, with all of my explorations of the dance floor, I received, as I went into the darkness on the dance floor, I received from my own connection to spirit, ways of connecting that you call the connection to the other worlds. And so through that, there are very specific invocations that I do, whether they're verbal or just through holding a drum or holding a rattle, that call forth the spirit of the dance. And so it's the connection to the spirit world, really, that one learns how to connect to. So even if you don't believe in God, there is a connection in which you are connected to this universality of a language that comes through.
Beautiful.
And, you know, I can call it that I'm connected to the spirit animal of the eagle. And you could say, oh, I'm connected to the angelic realms. There is no like right and wrong. This is not a religion. Shamanism is not religion. It's an earth-based medicine. So you could start connecting to the heartbeat of the mother on the dance floor. You can start connecting to the spirit of the breath, the winds, the fire. So it's really about coming into this point of stillness that allows you to connect to the spirit world. Mm-hmm. And that's what, for me personally, shamanism is all about, is connecting to the spirit world.
And how are some ways outside of the dance of liberation that you have held space for this, or you can, or we in our daily lives can go into this connection?
Well, first I'll say is that for me, life is a ceremony. Mm-hmm. So that from the moment I wake up, there is, in the way that I have been taught and guided, to just really honor spirit. And it can be as mundane as when I take a shower, to just imagine the purification of the water clearing and cleansing me. Mm-hmm. So I have this way of prayer that is, again, from the moment I wake up to the minute I go to sleep. And in dream time, I'm praying and dreaming, and holding space in dream space. So for me, it's a lifestyle. And I think that each person needs to just find their own way. Again, as you mentioned at the beginning, I do come from a long line of spiritual teachers, more from the space of religion. My father is ultra, ultra Orthodox. Mm. And so, you know, his way is really by Judaism, going in that flow. And so I feel like just to pass on to each person that is here and listening, the inspiration of really just tuning into what and how you want to connect to a higher state of consciousness, to a higher state of prayer, and to develop that as a way of life.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about the breath as well, and how that's such an accessible tool for us at any moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bringing us again, like that inner and outer world, you know? And also hyper-oxygenating our body, which that alone moves us into an altered state of consciousness.
Right.
That alone can give us a different, like, sensation, you know, in the sensory realm, like beyond our thoughts. Then we get into the body and we start to feel that tingle. And there's just a movement that starts to happen just in the breath alone.
Yes.
How powerful that is.
You know, and again, I just want to talk to those who perhaps, you know, are beginners in all of this. I worked at a treatment center for addiction, mm-hmm. and I worked with clients who had to use an external trance-inducing altered state drug in order to connect with source.
Right.
And they came to me in a way that what I would call is soul loss, because they sold themselves to something outside of them that they thought would connect them.
Yes.
And so I watched these clients go from a place of complete not trusting themselves, needing something from the outside world, to really developing, just through what you said, the breath, state of awareness and consciousness that everything is inside of them.
Mm. I just read an article that was all about the opposite of addiction is connection.
Yes.
The opposite of addiction is connection, and how through connecting with ourselves, with each other, with a larger vision, you know, connection.
Yes.
Connection heals. Connecting with the breath connecting us to life, like all connection is the opposite. So like we really have such an issue with addiction in our world. There's so many addictions of all kinds, things that we don't even think that are addictions, like being on the cell phone all the time, being a workaholic, you know, the obvious ones like taking drugs and alcohol, television and sex. And there's so many ways that we chronically distract ourselves from connecting.
Yeah.
Or because we feel the loss of connection, we go into some kind of way to deal with it, looking outside of ourselves, which makes us feel less connected, which then perpetuates the issue in the first place of, you know, craving connection, looking for it somewhere.
Yeah.
Wow. So it must have been really powerful for you to work in recovery and be able to take these amazing gifts that you have for healing and apply them in a completely different setting.
Yes.
Wow.
It was a mystery school. I have to say that because obviously I don't have a clinical degree like all the other psychotherapists and doctors that I worked with. And you can't learn this in a book. You really can't learn it in school. I feel that being in service with these types of unbelievable clients allowed me to even more understand what Dance of Liberation is all about. They were my teachers. My clients were my teachers.
Yes.
Because Dance of Liberation is always evolving, and it changes in each dance that a participant will come to. Mm-hmm. It's never the same. It has a structure. It has the seven foundations. And yet the community create the ritual.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the thing about shamanism. Is that it's about the community.
Mm.
It's about the community. It's the community that set the intention of healing. And then it's about the prayer in motion that brings down the healing. And then it's a collective healing, even though the blindfolds are on.
And ultimately in the heart of all of that is connection.
Exactly.
Right? There's bringing us back into connection.
Yes.
The healer of all, right? Coming right back to space.
And then there's a source of magic that happens, because at the end of the dance, really when we do the group sharing, the group processing, everyone recognizes how we are all experiencing this same vibration, the same frequency. Mm. It just happens in different times and different levels, you know, on the dance floor. And it's magic.
Yeah.
It's profound magic.
It really is. It really is. It's actually even hard to talk about.
Right.
It's such an experience that it's hard. Like we're trying to put all of this into words, but it really is such an experience.
Yes.
In that space. You know, it was, as you were talking, something that was also coming up for me that I wanted to reflect on that you mentioned earlier, that just, I don't want to miss it. So I want to just mention it. When you were talking about your, you had dyslexia. Did you have
every single learning disability you could imagine?
Okay, so you had these learning disabilities that kept you from being able to be, let's say, a scholar in school academically, right?
Yes.
And then I'm thinking about how, like, when somebody loses their eyesight, let's say, and they no longer have the strength of sight, but now their hearing becomes like hyper acute, right? And, or I think of Stephen Hawking, who can't use his body, but his brain is like, he's a genius, you know. So these other parts of us start to become so sculpted and so skilled and so gifted, you know. And just looking at the way that you hold space, Parashakti, which is honestly unlike anybody I've ever known. Like you have, we all have our unique gift. And one of your unique gifts is the spontaneity and the trust that you have in being able to just open yourself and let whatever wants to come through to come through. I've seen you design things like this. Like, hey, can you really quick, like, we need a ceremony. Gotcha. Let's do it. What are we going to do? I don't know, but that was amazing.
You know, I just have to tell you that when I was working at the Addiction Center, I would introduce myself as, I'm Paris Shakti and I am a ceremonial junkie.
That's true.
Because it's true. It is something that I am so graced.
Your life is a ceremony. You said it. You called it. It's true. And that's so beautiful. Yes. But it is true that you have access to this. And as a result, you really are able to hold sacred space, like, so powerfully. And so that those learning disorders were this amazing gift that puts you on a path to embodiment in a way that opened you up to be able to hold space in this powerful way. And that is such an invitation for all of us to reflect on the ways that we feel like we're not so good at this and we feel bad about it and we hold that and it becomes like a victimized place and we, you know, it becomes like our story and our identity and so much that we take on about that instead of actually asking what could the gift in this be?
Yes.
You know, and where does that actually lead me in a way that I never thought of before? You know, what doors can open and what ways can I focus on evolving the skills that I do have and that I am passionate about? So it really is such an invitation for us to step into ourselves, you know, even by recognizing what may not be our strengths, you know, and then shifting our focus into what is so we can breathe into that and move into that and dance into that and like allow it to explode.
Yeah.
You know, in our own unique way. So I just that was coming through and I just wanted to make a note of that. I feel like
yes. Thank you. It's a lifelong journey to live with, you know, because I do have to confront that shadow on an ongoing basis within myself, the diagnosis. And I don't learn in the same way that many people learn. And so I have to find very creative ways. And the way that I do learn is from the dance floor. Mm-hmm. So when I go into an altered state, when I close my eyes, even just now, there is an embodiment of wisdom that comes through that is not learned from a book. Mm. And so I now embrace needing to close my eyes. And that's how I do most of my work, mm. as I've shared with you in the past. And that's why I'm so dedicated to the blindfold.
Yeah.
Because it has done wonders for me. With all the you know, learning disabilities that I've been diagnosed with. So I practice, preach, and live it, for sure.
I was thinking about this story, and I'm trying to remember who it was. Martha Graham? I'm not sure. But the story of this young girl, I hope I can remember this now, and she was having trouble in school. And like hyper, couldn't sit still. And they wanted to put her in a special program because she wasn't able to focus. Nowadays, we'd be like putting people on drugs, right? Because you can't focus, ADD, right? All this stuff. And so she was in a room and a really, you know, tuned in, let's say counselor said, come with me, and brought the mother out of the room and put on some music and left the room. And then they peeked in to see what the girl was doing. And she was dancing and moving her body and dancing. And he said, your child doesn't have any learning disorders at all. She's a dancer. Put her in dance school.
Yeah.
And they did. And then it became like, I'm trying to remember who it was now. It was a super famous dancer. Someone who founded schools. And like, I'm not sure who it was now. But it was somebody's huge, huge. And that was her story. And it's, again, it's a testimony to that. Like it's, what we call a disorder? What do we call normal? You know, what really is that when we say I'm diagnosed? Sometimes we have to throw out that language and just say, I've been invited.
Right.
Wow. What happened for me? Oh, I had an invitation.
Right.
To not study algebra. I had an invitation to be a dancer in this life, in this form. And that is the way I'm bringing it into the world. Or, you know, take that and apply it to your life and whatever gifts. Yeah. You know, you're moving into. And I think that is something to reflect on in our children, maybe a little off topic at the moment, but not really, you know, like in our children today, where we see that this, I mean, every kids are just on drugs everywhere I turn, even in my own family. You know, there are two different children in my very close family that are on, you know, medicine for ADD, and another friend of mine who has their child on that. And I'm just like, they're dancers, you know, like not literally, but it's like, well, let's find out how they can, you know, become embodied in the way that they need to be and stop trying to apply normal to everything. And maybe that then goes back to going into the darkness and moving into an alternate state of reality where we can explore a new normal.
Exactly.
I had to tie it back in.
Yes! For you who are listening, it's mandatory for you to go into the darkness.
That's the heart of the message today.
Yes, exactly.
Embrace the darkness, you know, the courage to really face our inner world. You know, that's what it is, right?
Yes, and I'll just, you know, say once again, just thank you, Val, for pointing that out, is that my biggest darkness, which has not officially gone away, yet when I dance with that darkness of the learning disabilities, it's actually my biggest teacher.
It's
teaching me how to learn in different ways, because I can't learn the same way as you, let's say. My brilliant soul sister over there. You know, it's been my teacher. Now, it took me years to embody my darkness, to dance with my darkness, to be okay with that shadow aspect of myself. I suffered for many years. And I also believe that that's why at 22, I had that break, that second break of that injury, because I wasn't willing to look at that. I was externally definitely mastering my presence as a dancer. I wasn't doing the real work. And so I had to injure myself for the second time in order to wake up. And
it was the hero refuses the call.
Yeah.
The hero refuses the call, you know, in the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell, the hero refuses and it keeps coming. It tap, tap, taps, it whispers in your ear, and then it bangs you over the head, and then it drags you like, wake up. It's going to keep coming until we finally say yes.
Exactly.
And we listen to the call. I feel like, you know, going into that space, like, yeah, we're in the darkness for a long time. Right, yeah. Here, like we're like in that stage of the dance of liberation, because there's so much here, you know. But that really is the yes to the calling, you know, and it really is the invitation to then, you know, move into those things that come up for us, the challenges, the obstacles that we need to move through, and the allies that befriend us along the way. Like there's just, you know, everything really kind of happens in there. It's sort of like a microcosm then that's applied to our larger life.
Yeah, that in essence is what I would say to, you know, each one that is listening, is really just on a daily basis to create that sacred space, even if it's in the shower, to really listen to the call.
Yeah.
To really listen, because we have that, as you call it, that invitation each and every day to listen and to wake up to it and to make a change. Because usually it is a call to change something. And what a great opportunity.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. And I love, so we really have, I'm thinking back now to this seven parts. Yeah, and we've touched on the music and the heartbeat that we're dancing with, and how it guides us into these really, like, it's evocative of different sensations, different emotions. You know, music really is a guiding force.
Yes. So I'll just talk about the music, because that too I've been in a laboratory with.
Yeah.
And I really find that music with no words is really the best way to allow for an inner dialogue to happen. Because when you have words, it dictates, it reminds us, it brings us nostalgia, you know? So I really inspire people, if they want to just even just sit with music and meditation, to journey, to be in the car even, is to explore music that doesn't have words, so that the inner voice can begin to shine its light and can begin to write a new story and can begin to focus the intention. So that's the type of music that I like to DJ.
Yeah, beautiful. And the vibration, you know, that we are made of vibration. And so we really, really does speak to us on a cellular level, like on a vibrational level. You know, we really feel moved in different ways.
Yes.
Those experiments we've seen where certain vibrations are played and like the sand moves and creates like imagery.
Absolutely.
That's happening in our bodies too.
Yes. And again, and you see on the dance floor that there are moments where the music becomes the person's body and the body is orchestrating and knowing what the next rhythm is going to be because spirit has come through to do the healing work. And so you literally see these amazing participants turn into the conductor of their own life through listening to the depth of the music with the power of their intention.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, it's like how breathing happens automatically. You know, we don't breathe. We're being breathed by life. We're just being breathed. And so when we get past our head and like, okay, I'm going to move my body like this and I'm going to put my arm up like this and I'm going to, we're not thinking about it. We're being moved. We're being danced. Just like we're being breathed.
Yes.
And so when we get into that space of at surrender, bringing that back in, we allow ourselves to be danced, to be moved, to be guided, to be shown what's alive inside of us, to be present to the mystery.
And you know, Val, off the dance floor, we can translate it as you being spontaneous, you being creative, you know, you having that drive and that passion.
Yes.
That's in essence the dance.
Yeah, and trusting our intuition.
Yes.
That when we get a hit for something, we feel it in our bodies.
Yes.
You know, like what does yes feel like? What does no feel like?
Right.
And what, that feels like a yes, you know, like that doesn't feel good somehow. Like something doesn't feel good. Okay. I know I'm supposed to do that, but I can't put my finger on it. Trust that feeling.
Yes.
That's also being danced.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And then it's the movement as prayer. Right? Movement as prayer, living your life as a prayer.
Yeah.
That you were expressing that too, like every moment for you from the moment you wake up.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I feel moved by something that's bigger. And when I stop trying to figure it out, what is it, you know, needing structure, then that bigger connection to source guides my way now. And it's my dance. And then synchronicity happens and magic occurs. And even when there's darkness, there's tools to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm living in alignment with this bigger connection to myself that is driving the show.
Beautiful.
So, you know, and it's work. It doesn't just, I don't just wake up and it's, you know, I'm boom. Like it's work.
Of course.
Work.
Yeah. It is. But it is also a reminder of our connection to something so much larger than ourselves.
Yes.
You know, and that we're not just in it for us. We're in it for us.
Exactly.
We're in it for the larger we.
Yes.
The we movement, this, you know, this dance of life.
Yeah.
It is. So when we give ourselves into prayer, we're giving ourselves into a deeper service in life.
Exactly.
And then, you know, Parashakti, this really is like the hero's journey. Because I'm like, okay, and then the last part of this is coming home. This is like returning home with the boon, returning home with the juicy juice, the wisdom, the, right?
Yes, that's always for me. I like to call myself kind of the spirit mama.
Yeah, nice.
I really see souls that have been birthed in a new way, and they're returning home in a new way, and they make commitments. Verbal commitments, they declare commitments, they hold that talking stick.
Yes.
Which I will just, they hold this talking stick. This has been held by thousands and thousands of dancers, and they hold it and they declare their commitment for returning home. And there's something about that declaration, that speaking it out loud, that is so powerful, because we know that words have power to them. Mm-hmm. And when they're spoken from that divine essence of truth, then you can move forward and again, be the change.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because it's not just about being self-indulgent.
No.
Right? That's we have to be really aware of that, because I think there's a lot of a lot in spirituality that we see nowadays is really like this me. It's very inner focused. Yeah. Without an outer movement, without a compassion in action element to it, that becomes pretty much the most crucial thing. Like, it's about doing the inner work so that we can then show up for the larger movement.
Right. And that's the returning home. That's the seventh foundation, because it is about having that, you know, like Oprah says, the aha moment.
Yeah.
That connection to what are you committed to, and then taking action. How are you going to serve with this knowing?
Yeah.
And going out into the world and spreading it, whatever that is.
And that's also where the power of community,
yes,
comes into play. Because when we are in community, and this is why we all need community, so yes, much we need community to hold us accountable and yes, to recognize that we're not alone in it. So exactly, when we make those declarations and we say, okay, here I am, I'm showing up, and this is even this one tiny little thing that I'm going to do in my life to move forward, you know, and we get to be there to hold each other in that and check back in and say, how did that go? You know, if you go, okay, well, why not? Let's explore that together. Yeah. You know, or now we have a collective vision maybe that came through that we can work towards together. You
yes.
know, how, exactly. how, what parts can we each play to make something much larger happen? There's the synergy and the magic that happens when two or more things come together, something greater than the individuals.
Yes.
The community holds such a powerful space and invitation for all of us to create more, to evolve faster, to, you know, take a larger part in this.
I call it, in honor of my Native American elders, it becomes a dream council.
I love that. So yeah.
Home is dreaming the new dream together.
That's beautiful.
Because you entered with the blindfold, with the darkness, you entered into a dream state and you dreamt a dream, and now you're bringing it into community. So it's a powerful initiation, because you come in as strangers and then you leave as a dream council that has dreamt a new dream and taking it out into the world.
And without even seeing each other, you feel so deeply bonded and connected.
Oh, yes.
Like,
oh, super amazing. Oh, wow. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. And the dream council too, that really calls in shamanism as well. And that's in the sense that, you know, going into that dream space and bringing back, like we were saying earlier, bringing back the message for the community.
Exactly.
Right? It's the larger dream, the dream that we dream together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're in that now. You know, part of this great awakening, this great invitation of our time right now in this moment, is holding this collective dream and this collective vision of how we can move forward more powerfully together.
And I believe that in order, though, to come into a collectiveness and make a change as a collective, you first have to know what your personal dream is.
Yes.
So that you can come in strong with a foundation.
Yes.
And so the inner work is very important, because you do see a lot of people wanting to change, you know, with a collective, but if they haven't done the inner work, then it's not, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, it's not congruent. It's not like... thinking Hebrew, it's not it doesn't
conducive.
Thank you.
Yes, it's not conducive, exactly. And that is why we're here. That's what this summit is, really an invitation into ourselves to do that inner work and get amazing tools and, you know, different languages and different ways that we can connect within our own inner world, and showing up. You know, the cosmology, looking at the larger story, social activism, you know, how do we get involved on larger levels? Like, all of this, you know, how do we do that? We have to go inward first. We have to recognize our own gifts. We have to clear out our own stuff.
Yes,
you know, exactly. We have to understand ourselves on a deeper level. We have to have that conversation so we can engage in the larger conversation. And, you know, all of that is always happening simultaneously.
Yes.
That's important to say too. It's not like you're doing this inner work. Okay, done. Now I can show up in the world. There's a certain amount of that has to happen first. And then it's an ongoing conversation. We're always doing that inner work, even as we then begin to really show up. And then we continue. And then both things fuel the other.
Yes. Yeah, strong force.
Really?
Strong force.
Really? What an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
What an invitation.
It really is.
And so now you're taking all of this and you're putting it into soul healing work.
Yes. Yes. So one of my dear passions is holding that container one-on-one, because I do it in groups.
Yeah.
And so my one-on-one work is exactly what we've been talking about. This whole journey is really creating a sacred space, a sacred container, so that the individual can find that intention, clear away what needs to be cleared, and then step forward in a good way, as my elders say, and take action. And so a lot can happen in just even just a few breaths and a few moments. I find with this work that you don't need to even sometimes do it for hours and hours. Things can happen in 15 minutes. It's just the readiness and the trust and the faith.
Yeah.
Is really the service, is really what starts to just percolate and unravel things. So yeah.
Yeah, I bet that's gotta be also very rewarding to be able to become so intimate. You know, I know that working with one-on-one, I do a lot of group work and I do some one-on-one too. And there is such a power in the intimacy.
Yes.
And there's such a power in the group dynamic too. And we need both. We need both. Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, there's something so rich about diving in together, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So, oh my goodness, what a journey this is.
Yeah. I feel like we've been dancing this whole time together with everyone that is listening. So I feel so blessed and so graced to share the dance, because it is ongoing and it is a collective and it is an awakening. And the work that you're doing is allowing us to even more shine that and bring that out into the world. So thank you for hearing the call.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And yeah, I mean, like I said, we're all being invited to show up as powerfully as we can right now and, you know, look inside and ask, what can I do? How can I serve? And this is part of my answer, you know, and I couldn't do it without all of us, because for me, it is about the conversation that changes the world, you know, and how we do that one conversation at a time with that ripple effect.
Yes.
So coming home, I would love to invite you, Parashakti, before we really come to a close, any messages, any last words that want to come through about this moment, about our world, our inner and outer world, about the dance of life?
Thank you. So always, whether it's on the dance floor or off the dance floor, we always do a closing. And a closing allows us to really begin the journey. And so I just want to put a prayer out there of this beautiful door that has been opened together as we allowed for the spirit of the dance to inspire and to awaken and to just bring forth something new. So let's just allow for whatever new inspiration, whatever new seed that was planted here, let that be the momentum of your own dance, to take that home and inspire for it to just, again, just open a new beginning. So I bless the new beginning that is already here, that is already dancing, and that is about to transform and change into something brilliant and magical and new. Aho.
Aho. So beautiful. Thank you. And I'm so excited about the gifts that you're offering us as well. So first of all, we have your film.
Yes.
That we're all going to get for free. We get to watch it for free. Tell us about your film.
Wow. So, you know, with documentary films, it is a lifelong journey making one, but this is complete. I had my world premiere at the Sedona Film Festival, and it's a story about a little girl who loses her father to religion. It's a story about my life. Mm. And I got to go back to Israel to connect with my father after 33 years of not being in touch with him.
Wow.
And so it films me going back into the deserts where my father found God at the age of 40. And we reconnect and we bond, and there's challenges. And along the way, we get to know who we truly are as a father and a daughter. And so this film is really is what allowed me to reconnect with my father. And I feel like it's relevant for every person because we all have fathers. And it also expresses the dance and the way it just dances in our life, the dance of liberation. It's called Dance of Liberation. So I'm excited for all of you to watch it.
Thank you. Wow, that's so awesome. And then for anybody who upgrades and gets our package with all our amazing masterclasses and bonuses, you are also offering for the first 25 people who upgrade a soul healing session.
Yes.
So yeah. You guys, if you're upgrading, sign up for that. If you're one of the first 25 people, we're both offering sessions. So they get a session with you and a session with me, the first 25 people. Ooh, this
wow.
is so good.
Woo-hoo!
So that is an amazing gift. That's an amazing gift. And I'm just so honored to have you and your beautiful, timeless spirit and all the wisdom that you hold and the sacred space that you hold for us, Parashakti.
Oh, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. Mm. I feel just again, this deep, deep desire to honor you and to say thank you to bringing us all together to speak in this one language that allows us to express on so many different levels this great healing that's happening on the planet. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, sister.
All right.
See you soon.
Yes. Bye.